Good afternoon. I think I'm the only one that raised their hand when they said, is there a teacher available? So yes, I am a teacher at Urbana Middle School. I teach 8th grade science. This is Urbana Middle School in Champaign, Urbana. Urbana Middle School is the 10th largest middle school in Illinois with an enrollment of about 1,000 students. We are about 65% low income. Our school has students with many different ethnicities. Like many urban schools today, our school faces many challenges. We also are trying to meet NCLB, and with that, very little money goes to science or math. Very little money goes to science. It goes to math and to reading. In terms of subgroups, our school has every subgroup but one listed by NCLB. In 2006, through the National Science Foundation GK-12 program, Matthew Richardson and I began to work together to create lessons for my 8th grade science class in ecology. Matthew was a University of Illinois GK-12 fellow in ecology, evolution, and conservation biology. And this was the beginning of a very successful collaboration. Urbana Middle School students are often a targeted population because of the students' nearness to the University of Illinois. It has a large, very diverse population. Many researchers need an outreach component for their grant. However, often their needs do not meet the needs of the Urbana students. This collaboration was highly successful because Matthew and I started with the state standards and the district curriculum. We had a common purpose. We also had time. We had summers to plan and each fall to teach, revise, and evaluate. Prior to our collaboration, the issue in the classroom was that the curriculum had a global focus. The students were well informed on issues such as save the panda, save the polar bear, save the tiger. We were very active in saving various things. But the curriculum did not focus on local issues or environments. Students did no activities with live organisms. The district had no funding for field trips, and students' ecological literacy was poor. Matthew and I developed 7 major units with one or more lessons per unit focusing on ecology. Today we're focusing on 2 of those lessons, one on biodiversity and one on community ecology. In our first lesson on biodiversity, students investigated how plant diversity affects insect diversity, and we also wanted them to have a good working knowledge of the associated terms, such as habitat, carrying capacity, limiting factors, and population density. This is what came to be called the biodiversity bowl experiment. It had to be, of course, low cost, and so the students received a Ziploc bag with a yellow plastic bowl, a container with a tight-fitting top, a meter of string, and a very short sheet of instructions. 8th graders don't like to take home a lot of homework, and lots of times in our school, if you send it home, it doesn't come back. So we wanted them to be excited about it. We wanted them to have a good time. In general, they filled a bowl with 1 cup of water. They added a couple of drops of dish detergent and 2 teaspoons of salt. The yellow bowls were attractive to many insects and other arthropods. The dish detergent aided in the capture by breaking the water tension so the arthropods could not walk or swim or crawl out. And the salts kept the arthropods from absorbing too much water, trying to avoid, as someone said, the icky factor. They were instructed to place the bowl anywhere outside of their house. They chose where they wanted to put it. Before we sent them home with their homework, we practiced in the classroom exactly how to measure the number of individual plants and the plant species. Parents were instructed to hold one end of the string over the yellow bowl. Holding the string taut, the student walked in a circle around the yellow bowl. They counted the number of individual plants and plant species the string passed over. These were the only two pieces of data that they had to record on the pink instruction sheet. They left the bowl outside for 24 to 36 hours. Then they poured the contents of the bowl into the plastic container and brought everything back to school. When the students returned to school, they emptied their material back into the bowl, a small amount at a time, to count the total number of arthropods and types of arthropods. The data was then entered in Excel. And graphed. The x-axis showed the number of plant species. The y-axis showed the arthropod abundance. The student results showed that increasing plant richness resulted in a higher abundance of arthropods. In summary, students participated by measuring local biodiversity, and the results were published in the American Biology Teacher in April 2008. And student feedback indicated that about 86% liked or loved the activity. If you've ever worked with 13-year-olds, you know that 86% of them rarely ever agree on anything, much less like it. So this was a great, fun activity that we've had. This year we did it again, even though Matthew is not in the classroom now with me. And once again, it was a great success. It wakes them up to the insects that they see around them. It draws them a lot more into their local environment. In the second lesson I'll present today, the students learned about community ecology. We used as a model system a pea plant and aphids and predators on those aphids. There were three major components to this lesson. First, students learned how to design research, collect and interpret data. Next, students learned how adaptations in predators and prey shape their interactions. And they learned the effects of abiotic and biotic factors on aphid populations. In the first phase, we had a classroom discussion on the major steps in research. We focused the discussion on aphids. Each student listed abiotic and biotic factors that might change the population size of the aphids. Then students developed hypotheses about which abiotic and biotic factors affect aphids. Students decided to test whether nutrients and lady beetles impacted aphid populations. Lastly, students developed methods to measure the effects on the factors of the factors on aphids. In the second phase, we divided students into groups. We gave each group a pea plant stocked with aphids, a lady beetle, and lacewing in two separate petri dishes. Pictures of pea plants, pea aphids, and predators. Students observed the live organisms, labeled their morphological adaptations on the pictures, and explained their adaptive function. This was the first time, I think, that many of the students had taken time to really look at a live insect in a petri dish and predict what might happen. The pictures were very useful because they allowed students just to circle the morphological adaptation and jot questions by the side. As a part of their homework, the students drew their favorite animal and labeled morphological adaptations and their functions. You can see here we have a frog with very prominent eyes and an extraordinary tongue. To apply their knowledge of adaptations, the students also drew their own fictional animal and gave it adaptations that made it perfectly adapted to its environment. This creature, for example, is Tanglets. Tanglets has huge eyes to see in the dark and also to see a long distance in the daylight, and most attractively to eighth graders to attract a mate. The arms, which are all tentacles, can extend 200 feet for defense, catching prey and traveling through the trees. Suction cups at the end of the tentacles are used in climbing and grasping food. In the third phase, students investigated the effects of abiotic and biotic factors on aphids. We divided the students into two groups. We divided the student into groups and gave them two plants, one of which was supplemented with nutrients. Some groups were given two lady beetles, and each group transferred the aphids from stock plants to each of their plants. The transfer of aphids was very exciting in our classroom. By design, we thought that we would use small paint brushes, but they did not work as well, and so many times we had to resort to the shake method. The groups with lady beetles added one lady beetle to each plant. The plants and the arthropods were enclosed in mesh bags. After 1 week, the students counted aphids on each plant and entered the data into Microsoft Excel. And they determined how the abiotic and biotic factors affected aphid populations. On the x-axis of this figure, we see the treatment, low nutrients, high nutrients, low nutrients in a predator, and high nutrients in a predator. On the y-axis, we have the mean number of aphids. The first three treatments show no significant difference, but in the last treatment, we have the students finding high nutrients and a predator was a significant reduction in the aphid population, which brings up lots of questions. For assessment, we used mixed methods of assessment. All methods showed students' knowledge increased. 82% of the students liked working with living plants and animals and seeing interactions among plants, pea aphids, and predators. In summary, students gained hands-on experience with experimental design using local plants and insects. The arthropods were easy to work with in the classroom. They were inexpensive and used little space. The arthropods were local, so they were interesting to the students, and the students' interest were drawn into their local environment. The students' ecological literacy improved, and students had fun learning. My collaboration with Matthew produced new lessons well-suited to eighth graders' needs, and it strengthened our ecology curriculum. We'd like to thank our funding sources, the Illinois GK-12 program, the Entomological Society of America, and the Entomological Foundation, and of course, all the people who helped put together the lessons and our Urbana Middle School eighth graders. I would like to thank you for being here, and I welcome any questions that you have. Yes?
I have a question about the executed syllables and the epic institutions. Did you do anything with the plants beforehand so that they draft or identify local plants? How do they count the
We did practice in the classroom with some very general categories. We told them if it looked different, then they were to count it as a different species. Well, they did not do any classical classification. It was very simple for an eighth grader. And the same thing with insects. When Matthew was in the classroom, he was a tremendous help. This year, the whole idea was that I could do it by myself and other teachers in our building could. So we had a very, very simple, adapted way, something as simple as eight legs, certain kind of wing, and we put them in very general categories. Yes.
I had a question, actually. You were just mentioning the idea of teacher training as a useful way of extending the GK-12 beyond GK-12. As a teacher, how do you feel like a training session like a seminar something compares with the kind of partnership that you've got with the GK-12? Do you think that continues the things you develop with your fellow, if it had instead been this long-term relationship, if it had just been like a short
To say that a short-term training period could replace what the GK fellow, right? Just
to what extent do you think that you can take new curriculum ideas that are just presented in a short
In my position at Urbana Middle School, I'm the science coordinator and we have 14 science teachers. My experience has been that if you're in a training program, you might take a small part of it and that might become a part of your curriculum. But even with Matthew in the classroom with me, it has not spread to other eighth grade science teachers very much. They might try the biodiversity bowl, but some of the more elaborate, kind of deeper inquiry lessons, they're hesitant to try it without somebody there to kind of assist them in the beginning. So I think it has limited effect. Yes? Well, fortunately, Urbana is where the yellow solo bowls are manufactured. So we have hit upon them. And because we put it in a Ziploc, this is my third year now to use almost the same bowls. We have to really, really watch our funds. In our district, it pretty much is up for me to write a grant to try to get money to get donations because our budget just will not cover anything but expendables. So we're always working on a short budget. If the other two teams want to do the biodiversity bowls, we have to switch it from one classroom to the other. So I don't have a magic answer.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.